Welcome to Pinky Hoots Creative Space, a podcast to uplift female creators with Asian heritages into the spotlight. I am your host, Lisi, aka Pinky Hoot. I get deep into the creators' background stories, process, and everything in between. Come and get inspired and get motivated. Today, I have one of my favorite guests, Fifi Rong, here with us. As some of you know, she has been kind of off, on and off social media for a little bit now. And I have her fans asking me if she's doing okay. So I thought it would be the perfect way to start the new year with her and kind of find out what's on her mind and probably get into some of the topics that probably are on our minds as well, right? So hi, Fifi. How's it going? What you been up to in the past few months?
I am really good. What do you mean when you say December wasn't easy and January's not been easy? Is it like a worldwide or is it like,
personally, personally, I think December, I think for mothers especially, there's just so many like Christmas activities and gifts and trips and all that on top of my work and my art and all that stuff. So I just felt like I was just constantly trying to get, wrap my mind around something, getting things done. And then, we had like friends here for skiing and stuff. So it was really hard for me trying to get things done. And I think I wrote about it towards the end. I just had to do a hard unplug. There was like, I had like a short list of things I wanted to get to finish, but I didn't get to. And by then I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I just did a hard unplug, like cut myself off of computer, social media last week of December, basically. And
For how long in total?
Like 10 days, I think. We can...
10 days only? That's nothing.
So when I came back in January, I messaged you immediately. It was like, hey, do you want to come on to talk today? And I started mentioning about like the social media anxiety of getting back in on Twitter again, just watch my feed and think about what I want to post and all that. And it gave me like a lot of anxiety because I think even just 10 days, it gave me like a good time back to myself, so to speak, right?
Yeah. It's not deep enough compared to me because I totally understand because at one point, the whole thing is self-expectation, right? The whole self-expectation is that thing you think that you should be doing something, right? If you have a certain expectation, thinking I should be on social media every day and everybody else is on social media doing their work and stuff, then 10 days is a lot.
Right.
But if I have no expectation, then there wouldn't be an anxiety that comes with it. So that's the kind of like the basis of it. And so for me, of course, there's no anxiety. You know, I am happier than ever.
Yeah.
If you measure the pros and cons, and not just personally, but if you look at the social media, the impact of social media on people worldwide and, human nature, young people, societal influences, and how it like worsen the existing problems that is already in the, in the very kind of like a fundamental level of our society. Yeah, it's not a good thing. It's something that you, if you want to do like a business, a brand or something like that, you have to do it. But if you can free yourself from having to do it and then think of a way to, I'm not saying go around it or as in like it's mentally not getting constrained and limited by the thinking of I have to do something, then the pressure is already reduced by like 80%. Right. Yeah. But I once upon a time, I did feel if I wasn't on social media for posting on Instagram for 3 days, people think that he disappeared.
Right.
And that was totally self-imposed.
Right. Like, yeah, I was just going to say, when you say people think, I'm like, that's probably like we are thinking that. I wonder how many people are actually thinking, right? Craig here actually did notice and he reached out to me. So I thought it was so sweet of him. You know, so I think in the end, you do have those people out there, your friends, your fans who do care about what's going on. And our post does inform them in a lot of ways. But then again, how much is that like we had to consider versus our own growth and things that we have to do, right?
Yeah, there's no comparison. Like for the things that I have gained, which is peace, serenity and tranquility and deep work.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, the thing that you will appreciate in 20 years, 30 years, or in your deathbed.
Yeah.
That you appreciate the stuff that you've done in this lifetime when a flashback. The important things comes from deep creativity, a place where there shouldn't be any pressure. It's not about how many social media engagement, like how many people followed me, what kind of metrics I have achieved, but what I have channeled through, I've created, that took a lot of, like, as a nuclear power, as like a creativity, as something that you, not a song, right? You need to kind of like sink to a level of real peace in your heart to actually zone into a space where you can actually work. I'm happy to see David here, because the thing, like, before this space, I haven't done space at all. I wasn't bothered. And the thing, the only thing that was in my mind to bring to the table is that if for those, or for myself, just speaking to myself, for those who are doing daily spaces, who can you say that I've gone away to do an album with David for 11 songs?
Right.
When I say, when people think I disappeared, like, what kind of peace and tranquility that you have for this mind space to actually sit down to do, to want to do, like, the key word here is want, is the drive, is that I, if I'm doing spaces every day, I might not feel pressurized, I might not feel too stressed, because that's my lifestyle for like 2 years.
Right.
At the same time, I didn't want to make an album. Mm-hmm. I did not feel like I have the juice, mm-hmm. the creative juice to do that. But as soon as I cut out of social media, I want to do an album here, do an EP there, like bang, 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 bang. It's like all the creative juice have all come back to me.
Oh, that's, you know, fascinating. Like,
that's life-giving.
That's fascinating. Yeah, well, I...
Yeah, that is, no 1 million followers can compare.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it seems like we are not on social media. The perception we have is like, oh, she's not doing anything, that's why she's off of it. But it sounds like it's the exact opposite, right? Because you're not on social media, so we don't really know what you're doing. But it seems like you've been up to a lot of things. So tell us that what you've been up to in the past few months, however long you've been away.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the main thing I've been creating with David, we have like this exciting album that we're bringing to the world. And for me, this is a very common kind of cycle, because mm-hmm. like there's a cycle of releasing and marketing where I'm that salesperson. I'm like constantly in your face and then talk. But that is very depleting of your creative energy. Mm-hmm. So I sometimes disappear, so quote unquote disappear, that I get really introverted, quiet. I don't want to communicate with people, because that really depletes you. Like, I'm not like tired, but it just, your mind is in that busyness. It's not in that creative zone. I just don't want to create. Mm-hmm. And then that can go on for quite a while. But when I am creating, that could be like a year or 2 years. Or maybe 6 months or something, depending if I'm making an EP or making an album or something. Yeah, I find myself very introverted and very, I'm just in that creative zone. So that is through, you know, this time I've been moving around because we have a renovation. I've been in the city center and moving now, just now I just moved from upstairs to downstairs to my new studio. Very important. So through this time, I'm not communicating with the world so much. As soon as I find 3 hours, 5 hours gap anywhere, I can really zone in to make a song. The other day when Milo, because my temporary studio has been in our kitchen, and then that's not, you know, it's not very encouraging for, mm-hmm. you know, deep work, for long-term work. But as soon as he leaves the house for 5 hours, bang, a song, right? And
right.
5 hours of recording, done. So I'm able to have this clarity, have this kind of space to actually create. And then that is, like, to me, that is a lot of gift. You know, that's the gift. Apart from that, Tommy D got me, Milo, and a lo-fi band, a geo called Odd Boy. And then we are creating some stuff. Like, at first, it was just, you know, they found some vocal sample that I haven't released, and they made something like a demo. And we really liked it. And then we're starting to wanting to create something. And when they sent me a whole bunch of beats, and I was like, Oh, wow. There's something I instantly feel. So I picked like four songs, and one is more like ambient outro, intro, something like that. And this just like me talking to myself because I haven't started writing yet, right? I've got like this album to finish. I still have a couple of songs we have to finalize. And, you know, there's a lot of post-production stuff to work on. So the next thing I wanted to do, like in comparison to if I was constantly posting, having this obligation to post every day to do social media content, I would be like, okay, Odd Boy, I like lo-fi, I like this. Let's just collaborate on this one song, right? That's what I would do usually. But at this point, when I listen to this song, I like your stuff. Let me try on these five songs. You know, I get really, as in, ambitious, and I get a huge appetite on creativity. You know, it's like, and then I came to, you know, my like one of my best friend now, Alice. You know, and she's in the space, and we, you know, we've been together, you know, talking, doing spaces a lot. We have been gone really close in recent times, and I always recently I went to her. I was like, don't forget about the album that we said we want to do. I want to do another
Right.
album. I want to do an album with you. So these are the type of things that I find myself, I want to do these things. And before doing, the wanting to do is the first step. And I know myself so well after being making music for so long. As soon as I have this feeling, things are about to happen. So I'm really happy about that.
Well, I'm so excited to see what's going to happen in 2024 coming from you creatively and personally, I guess. CJ in the audience requests to speak. Hi, CJ.
Hi, oh, hi, how's everybody doing?
Great.
I was listening to what Fifi was saying, and I agree a lot with what she said. I learned something new today, and it was about being an artist. I think this guy called Rick Rubin, he's a producer, and he spoke about how we should, as artists, we should first create for ourselves. Before social media existed and before we could communicate to 1 million people, 3 million people at the same time, they were just creators that just made for themselves. And I feel like social media and people, like just generally humans today, we're always thinking about how to make the next buck, even from our art. And sometimes it's not, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to make money from your art. No, it's a lovely thing to be able to make money from art. But social media and that pressure just makes us think, oh my God, this guy is doing this. Oh my God, this girl is doing this. When sometimes we should just chill and create. No pressure of social media, no pressure of what is this person doing? What is this person? He sounds better than me. She sounds better than me. This social media, quote unquote, pressure. It's like, who were you before the world told you who to be? Who were you as a creator before you knew what Twitter Spaces were, before Instagram came into the picture? That creation, that beautiful baby you were making. Social media just happens to be like your best friend. Let's just say your best friend. Sometimes you can't see your best friend for like a month. Maybe he traveled, left the country or something, but he's still your best friend. You can see social media as a best friend where you make cool shit and then you just tell the people, hey guys, look at what I made. Just because, like Fifi was saying, like sometimes, oh no. You were saying, Pinky, that sometimes people don't see you on social media and they think you're not doing anything. But sometimes it's lots of times, just as Fifi says, it's not necessarily so, because you could be out on this adventure of a lifetime and creating, constantly creating. Yes, maybe your friends and family are the only people hearing it, but then you're creating and making this world, this masterpiece of sound that you enjoy. You're making it for yourself. You're creating for your own enjoyment. And like social media is just like, hey guys, let me let you into my own little world that I created. If they like it, it's fine. If they don't like it, it's also okay because you like it. You really, really love it. And that is so important when we're creating. Because if we don't like it, then what's the need? If we're not enjoying ourselves, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
I do. I think with artists, especially in the world of social media, and to Fifi's point, we fall into this trap, right? We fall into this trap of, I think the algorithm has worked on us, basically. I feel like the X or whatever algorithm has trained our brain to be dependent on the feedback from the our feeds or, you know, our likes and whatnot. And sometimes we crave it. And when it's not there, we wonder if everything's all right. And I think it's completely happening on a subconscious level almost, right? So my question for Fifi was, thinking back, you know, I'm sure social media has impacted you both positively and negatively, right? So now that you have stepped away, like, you know, had your quiet time and you're not, you know, grinding on social media anymore, what kind of, I guess, moments of clarity or epiphanies that you've had that you could share with us to kind of cement what CJ just said?
I think there's several things. So there's like quite a few things I wanted to say. So I just, you know, whatever I think of, I'm just going to say that first. When you mentioned people think you're disappeared, like, who are they? Who are those people, right? Are they your fans? If they're your fans, they are on your mailing list and then they have received my email and then they know exactly why I'm not here, right? So
that's so true. Yes.
That's the people I care about, who care about me back. And then the people, and also social media has something quite icky to begin with, right? I had to do what I had to do to share my stuff with the world. But at this moment, I'm happy to become this treasure girl. We, in Chinese, we have this treasure baozhaonuhai, as in, like, for hipsters, basically for people who come and find me. I don't go in your face, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at my bikini, you know, it's me being cute, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? To grab attention. There is a certain desperation in that. And there's something perverted in the composition of social media itself, is that it's a very unhealthy in that kind of way. It's the competition, it's the evoking of that something that's our lower self. And also is something quite disturbing and uncomfortable that people starting to want to share their personal life with the world to impress people who don't know you, you don't know, or people don't care about you, or you don't care about. As in, they're complete strangers. Because at a certain point that you have to keep up your, like, persona or some kind of, like, presence, then you're starting to share more and more. Like, me included, when I was doing that thing, it's like, where am I going to post today? Maybe what I'm going to eat, or I'm to a complete stranger, or maybe I'm at this airport, or maybe I'm doing this in this hotel room. That's creepy. If you think about that, it's kind of creepy. Why am I sharing all this information desperately? Chris Rock said it really well. He says, Americans are addicted to attention, not like opioids. It's attention. He says, people are so, it's like, look at me, that's me when I was 18. Look at me, like me. It's like, who are you trying to impress? Those two, the people that you don't know. So something is seriously wrong there. So then the first point I was making is that, who are those people? If those people are perceived competition, then they will be happy. Oh, one of my competitors is gone. Great. I have less people who can, you know, put me into my misery when I'm like secretly competing with her. You know what I mean? It's like, if those are your peers and people, well, it doesn't matter. Then you're doing them a favor, right? It really doesn't matter. And also, if on a spiritual level, everybody has their own path. Comparing and competing, you're only shooting yourself in the foot. There is absolutely no point of doing that. But we fall into that trap. Right, you might have a really nice day. You want to create, you want to do this, do that. And suddenly a ding, a bling or something on your phone, notification, or you scroll through something that make you feel like a sick in your stomach. It could be something that you really want, another person has achieved, or another person. It's like something that makes you. It's not that you hate on that person. It's about the jealousy of that, I want that, and then the desperation, anxiety of, I don't know if I have the confidence to get there, right? And then that can just set you back because you're already on the track, but then now you are using this tool to actually kick yourself off the track. And then that's kind of like quite silly. So, you know, when we really dwell like deeper into the people think, it's like, why should I care what people think truly, right? And then the point next to that is what CJ was mentioning about the things that you like, something you make for yourself. Of course, you have to make it for yourself because you and whatever that universal power, intelligence you call God, source, or whatever, that thing that is not in this physical reality you are channeling through, that you're collaborating with your higher self, whatever you want to call that. Your excitement and passion is the signal of you're doing something right. Your broadband or your download pathway is open, right? That portal is opened. Then you have this relaxation and happiness for something to download onto your physical mind. And then you translate that into your computer or whatever, like your song. That has to be the first step in order to actually do something that is worthwhile. With the rise of AI, there's like, you know, in 1 minute, with one click or 10 seconds, there is a new song. And that's better than average. Better. That is actually good. There's just no point to make average stuff if it doesn't mean anything anymore, right? So it's very, very important to do something that you know what you want to say, that if something comes through your soul, comes through something that is not from this dimension, and the deep work, only deep work can bring you that. And also, I had the fortune, you know, I was fortunate to encounter and then be close to some legends, like who, when I call legends, they're living legends. They have a whole lifetime of a career, as they have released a whole lifetime of songs, and you know, like being regarded very highly. These people have, you know, I met them early on. They have educated me to look at things as an artist, to look at long term. What does it matter what you do now in the grand scale of things, right? Also, my dad would tell me something like that. I care about the music that I make, if it still matters when I die, after I die. Or, first of all, like CJ said, it matters to me. It matters to me first. And in my mind, I have the peace that I did something that matters to me, and that I leave it to the world. If it matters to them, great, but it doesn't bother me anymore because my job is done. You know, yesterday I saw, like, I watched this movie. Jamie Foxx was doing the voice called Soul. It's like they call it Spark. You know, that thing called Spark? It's like you find your purpose. You know, Spark is the love of life. The Spark is, you know, your thing when you come to this earth. So for me, it's like I found my spark in this lifetime, and I feel very fulfilled. And this fulfillment doesn't come from fame, money, status, or anything. It comes from that satisfaction from creating the good work that I came, and honest work that I came to create. And then that's what all it matters to me. So social media, to answer your question, is a distraction. Essentially, in this whole grand scale of things, like being an artist and whatnot, it's a necessity to bring myself out there, because who, I wasn't waiting for a label or for my savior to bring me out. I had to bring myself out. So social media played a big part, a very positive part for me to give my work a platform to meet the world, to find my initial fans. And then that was very positive. But everything, there's a two ends of the stick. You know, once you get trapped into that kind of like a rat race, then the best of the best Zen master is gonna start competing, you know, competing with other people, thinking, why do people not like me? Maybe I should do a selfie, you know.
In bikini. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So well said. I think you touched upon many, many points. And when you made me, I'm wondering if this cycle being on social media and sharing your work, and that, you know, the whole comparing yourself to others and the feed just inevitably happens. I wonder if creative people, artists, are even more sensitive to that, because I want to say yes, because I think as if you're creative, I think in some ways you're already more like more emotional, or you're perceptive to the world and the energy, right? And then, like you said, being on social media is a totally a distraction from that energy. But like somehow we all kind of started falling into a trap. And then once in a while, we realize that we stop ourselves, but the trap is like right next to us, so to speak, right? So it's such an interesting thing that we're talking about. It's like, as an artist, how much weight should we put on social media and getting our awareness now? Because it's kind of like the two sides of the same coin, right? You kind of need awareness to make a living, but at the same time, that awareness is also taking away that ability or that focus to do the things for you to make a living. And I've had many conversations with different artists about this, because people from like marketing standpoint, you kind of have to do that to get yourself out there. But at the same time, you know, all that, like you said, is distraction. So how do we strike a balance? And I feel like because you've, you know, had that quiet period, I would love for you to share some ways, skill practices that could help us.
It really depends on where you are and if you have the options to do it in different ways. I'm in a position where I have been doing this for a very long time, and I am quite satisfied, very fulfilled and content with where I am. So I am at the position to choose that if I don't want to do social media, I don't have to. So that is a great sense of relief and freedom. And then that's really important for my creativity, and which is more important to me at this point in time. But when you are in that building phase and you have to connect with people, there are several ways that you can go about it. I came from a web tool thing. I did a course with them called The Mod Musician. They teach people you can have a very successful career without being on social media, actually. They use, you know, TikTok ads and Facebook ads, and essentially having, you know, building a value ladder for their people, for their students. And that is a way to do it if you don't have to be on, say, Instagram or constantly posting things that the return on investment is extremely low. You don't have to do that. That is one thing that you can consider. And the other thing is, you know, Web3 artists have always been doing that. Most of us have transitioned to this place because we're tired of that. Five social media, you have to play that game, you have to give into the evil that is, say, TikTok, you know, like a Snapchat type of things, because it's really unhealthy. The more I study, learn about, you know, what this is doing to young people and, you know, the dodgy stuff that is going on behind like Instagram, TikTok and all that stuff, it can be very, very toxic, and not just to yourself, but to society as well, to young people as a generation. And the attention deficit, you know, mental illness, like serious mental illness, is directly correlated to depression and anxiety, all this usage. And people cannot do deep work anymore. It's like today I saw something, they say, like, I can guarantee, this person says, it's a YouTuber, he said, I can guarantee that for a person who is accustomed to TikTok, can't watch a movie from 60s or 70s, because in 5 minutes, I was like, why is nothing happening here? Like the intro of character, it takes half an hour to introduce the character, but in those old movies, and me, Milo and myself, we happen to watch a lot of old movies. I got it from him. So it, in a way, it's training your patience to invest into character, you know, like those things are very, very interesting in comparison. So what I'm saying to answer your question, what can you do, is that don't let social media use you, like use social media as a tool. And I have managed to do that when I was doing this consistent, when I was in my marketing phase. I'm not in my, like right now I'm in my writing phase, right? I'm in my creative phase. But when I'm in that phase, when I do my marketing, I am on social all the time because I'm not creating actively, which is fine because sometimes it takes a lot of stuff. For example, when me and David do decide how we're gonna bring this album out to the world, we will be here a lot, right? That is expected because we want to tell people the story behind how we're gonna do. Are we gonna do a crowdfunding or whatever? We're gonna be on social media a lot. But that comes from a purpose. We have a reason to be here. We are promoting something. So that is what I'm trying to say. It's like the way you use it is, you don't have to fall into a trap. You work here. So just focus on what you are using this for. You're right. Using this as a tool, and you have like a plan to do this. And I don't think that you can go too far. I've done this a lot and it didn't drive me crazy, but still it might, sometimes it will get on my nerves.
Yeah, it's like not the like full on crazy, but like that tingling in the back of your head is like something's off balance. At least that's what I get. CJ, you had your hand up. What's up?
Yeah, it was resonating with what Fifi said, because it's just like she said, there are phases. She's in the marketing phase. She's in the writing phase right now. It's also this thing of making time for it. What I mean is, I had a conversation with a friend, very talented music producer, and he said, if music is really important to you and you're getting sucked into social media, you should make time to play the social media game and you should make time to play music, make music. What do I mean? For example, because of the rat race of life in general, not just in social media, sometimes a lot of musicians forget about their craft. And I know this because I was once like that. I'm even struggling with that now. But this friend told me you have to actively put time on your calendar, put time on your day, your 24 hours. If you're saying, I'm sitting down right now to make music for 3 hours, for 2 hours, I'm sitting down right now to interact on social media for 2 hours, for 3 hours, and not get sucked in. What do I mean? For example, you wake up first thing in the morning from 6 till 8, I am making music. I am not using my phone. I'm not going on social media. I'm not doing anything. All I am doing is creating. I don't know if you understand. It's like it sets your mind in that place where, and I know there's this thing called inspiration where it can be spur of the moment. There's a tune in your head and you want to get it out there. It's a good thing to get it out there. It's a good thing to work when you need to work. But I think Charlie Puth records every idea he has on his phone. And it's an amazing thing when you have spontaneity like that. But I feel it is also very, very important to make that all-important time for creating music. No distractions, nothing. Creating. And then when it's time for sharing, you're not creating. What you're doing is sharing what you created.
Right. I think all that will take a lot of discipline, which I think a lot of us are lacking, but it's something I think is absolutely necessary for artists, like you said, right? Go ahead, Fifi.
Yeah, that is something I used to do, exactly, precisely what CJ said. And I was making music, like I got up 5 o'clock in the morning and then this has to be the first thing I did. And then, you know, admin, social media and everything else, because I was in that position of, okay, I don't have other choice. I didn't have the option that I have now, the relaxation. So I had to fend for myself. I needed to go hard, you know, at this thing. So when time is limited, this military style of discipline is needed. I totally agree. On the other hand, I wanted to mention on that, you know, my phase of time, because when you get older and say, for example, you already done music for a long, long time, and then you're in your, say, mid-age or even older, I hear a lot of very successful people do that. You know that ex-Google CEO, like the tech something called Mo, and he wrote many, many books called Happiness or something. And there was a recent talk and he said that he has to go away for like a month of quiet time, like almost a month. And the thing you said that you did for 10 days, like he did for a month every, he does it for a month every year. And what's interesting things happen to the silence retreat is that you don't even know that you need it right now. But once you go away and have this peace and quiet and this kind of space, something happens to you. You go deeper into your soul and you're starting to live from your purpose rather than necessity. And so even the busiest people would go into a cave or go silent retreat for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. There's a purpose for that. It's very soul, spiritual, like renewing. And I've been doing that since 2018. I had to do something, meditation retreat like sort of thing since that year because I was still busier. Now I'm not as busy, I can tell you. I actually felt at first a little bit lost, as in I'm not sure, I'm very content, very happy, kind of floating around. I don't want to be on social. I'm just like, I feel just sense of freedom, but I don't know what I'm gonna do so much. But the thing is, very, very soon I feel very energized and I want to do something, and it's like my life is coming back. It's like I want to go and I'm driven to do this project, this and this and this. So that is the strange thing that I'm experiencing. It happens when that's in a place of a quiet, like a prolonged quiet time.
Yeah, that you give me goosebumps when you said that, because I've been reading, I think I've been mentioning it on the spaces as well. I've been just finished reading this book called The Diamond Cutter. it's like a Buddhist spiritual book that applies to like, you know, Western world and business world and whatnot. And they call the silent time like the circle time, so to speak. And that's exactly what they describe in the book. Like everybody should, if you can, you know, take one day off every other week. If you have the luxury, take a whole month off in your year. That is in addition to your vacation time and whatnot. And that is exactly what described. Like first, you will be lost. You don't know what to do. You'll feel anxious. And then like then you start to have clarities. And then the book also suggests that during this time to pick one or two big questions that you want to solve, a big thing in life that you want to have answers for, and just let your mind wander, let your subconscious come to your forefront and then kind of resolve all that for you. Like we all have that power within us to answer those questions we have, right? Sometimes I do this myself, but I ask like to the universe, just out loud, like, what am I doing with my life? My husband always like yells at me for saying that. He's like, you're already doing stuff with your life. You're already there. Like, stop asking that. Only every time you ask, you kind of, like you said, you exactly push yourself back from like same thing, that step you already took. Because now, but the fact that I'm asking, it kind of makes my mind think, oh, I really don't know what I'm doing again, right? And that's such a dangerous trap. So I think having that clarity, you said live for your purpose, is such a holy grail of life. And that gave me goosebumps. And I'm so happy to hear that you have done that this long. And I feel like I need to make this a goal for myself in life to do a month off. That it seems so daunting too at the same time, right? I don't even know when was the last time I had a month of just think.
On the first day would be the most difficult. It's like learning to play the piano. The first week, the second week might be difficult, but the third week, you'd be having so much fun. In fact, coming out of your shell will now be the difficult part because you're so comfy in that zone, that space you've created for yourself. It's like, wow, this is a whole new world of just you and, dare I say, the universe and that inspiration, the muses, that meditation. It's like a whole different like level of bliss. Yeah, that's the word, bliss. Where the first day might be difficult. It's like, oh my God, why am I doing this? This is horrid. But the second day, the third day, you're having fun. You're looking forward to the next day, so to speak.
Fifi, do you feel that way? And I'm going to follow up with another question, because in your newsletter, which I loved, and like, I love that you said, if you're on my newsletter, you probably know why I'm taking time off, 100%. And you talked about the idea of Western culture prioritizes doing versus being, which is, you know, practicing Eastern culture. And like the book I just mentioned is definitely on that trend. So can you kind of share your thoughts on this concept? And yeah, to CJ's point, like how does, you know, what happened during those time in your mind?
Yeah, again, quite a few things there. So I don't experience the first day being difficult because I didn't deliberately saying, okay, from now on, from this month, I'm going to cut myself off and now I'm going to come back. I'm a very kind of like a natural person. I just get kind of like, you know, bored. I kind of evolve within myself, kind of like within just my, I think I explained quite well on the newsletter. It's like the world that I come to understand, the more I understand, the more I learn, the more I starting to see through the veil of the fabric that construct our current reality. And then the more I see through certain things, the more I find it quite silly to get caught in that web like a matrix and then going through this, you know, doing something that is, it's like, let's just say this game from the very engine level, it's like the whole motor, whole engine is operated on, say, game theory. A lot of things is wrong coming from that layer trickle down into different layers and fabric of our society right now. And then knowing that I have to go and play that game and trying to excel in that game, it almost feels wrong. It almost feels like against the morality that, you know, that what we called as a true human being, right? Not human doing, human being. So the whole society currently, you know, there's a trend doing this, trend doing that. We're talking about the grind culture. And that is, what I'm saying, the grind culture is like something trendy, or something is very kind of like a small snippet of our understanding and realization why we are the way we are, and why do we credit not the result, not quite the result anymore. It's quite the hard work itself. And I was one of them because, you know, Chinese work ethic and coming from a military family, I think, you know, as long as I'm working hard, I feel happy, I feel fulfilled. I feel the harder I work, the more I feel that I'm doing something. Right. That's kind of the way I saw it. But, you know, I kind of like I feel myself evolving out of that. I'm actually, you know, having like several things going on at the same time. So I can't really get deeper into that lane. I'll come back a little bit later. But I wanted to first answer the question of that anxiety thing, feeling how you feel if you take a month off. At the beginning, I feel I've given up. Right. You feel like the world has left me behind. People's gonna, you know, again, what you said, people's gonna forget about me. Like, of course, there's a level of you's gonna think that, gonna feel like that. It's like, I don't play that game anymore. And at the same time, you feel a bit lost. I feel quite, as in, I'm just now, everything that I've worked for, it almost feels like that. Of course, it's not true. And very, very soon, it becomes free. Like a week later, it becomes free because you are not trapped in that competition, in that smallness, in that narrowness of life, right? You think much bigger. You think about what is important. And then you think about even bigger, to the point where a billion stars or 10 billion stars, a trillion stars in one galaxy. And if you are talking about civilizations, and then there, let's just say there are 10,000 or 10, like a million civilizations in the sea of time, the ones that is up, like it has a civilization that can operating, you know, having a civilization at the same time, doesn't even happen. A lot of times there's like a billion year apart from your civilization to my civilization. That's the biggest in this reality you can think of. It's like, why does it matter? What really matters? Nothing really matters. If you think about like, it's just the vastness of the universe and the meaning of what we're trying to create and our misery that comes from our mind that makes us feel this is important. I'm 3 days not on social media. It's so trivial. My life is so trivial. Our civilization is so trivial. It's like a blink of time of the existence on this planet. And then this planet is just a blink of the, you know, of in this galaxy. It doesn't even, you know, it hasn't been discovered, or maybe has, by other civilizations, depending what you believe in. Of course, I'm sure like there are many different civilizations that's like a flickering. But maybe they are a billion year apart. One like 10 trillion, like a 10 was like a trillion light year apart. It's, you know, like a distance from galaxy to galaxy. It's just like a mind boggling. So very, very, so that's kind of like the, you can even go there, your mind, if you are not so caught up with this like smallness of the life that we are living in, the day in and day out. So that is one thing about, you know, just the time scale. What was the other thing that you asked me about? Remind me, please.
How, like the, you know, the, I asked the Western culture. I think you answered that, the doing versus being. Yeah. But I just want to add really quick that I really appreciate your ability to contrast to such a small place inside your head, your vulnerabilities, your hangouts and whatnot, and then expand on such a big level, you know, universe and galaxies and timeline. And kind of gives like a lot, gives me perspective at least. It's like, we are so insignificant in the end. It's like, why wouldn't we do what we want to do and live our purpose, right? And then when you said that, it made me feel like the anxiety we have about social media is so, I don't want to say silly, but it is, right? It has literally zero consequences in the end.
In the end, nothing really matters. So the only thing is to be the reflection of existence itself, which is, you know, being. You are doing the best thing that you can witness of our highest intelligence in this form. Can you? And when you're doing, you're not being. right? Yeah. It's really hard to be doing and being at the same time. And the Western culture of like accrediting, glamorizing this whole doing, achievement, accomplishment, success. Over the last year or two, I started to think the definition of success. So hold on a second. This whole success thing was what was fed to me. It wasn't what I came from my heart, like this means success. And if everybody dies and I'm the last person or last two people live on earth, so what does this success mean? It just means nothing. It still means nothing. Yeah, like 10,000 years later, this success means nothing. So it's a very mind construct and cultural, like in this culture construct of this success. And behind this success and what the culture values, you know, how many likes, how many whatever, you know, whatever the way you look and what how people, you know, see success. It's total marketing. It's total kind of like, especially the engine that make the whole world goes around right now, unfortunately, is not a healthy one. And a lot of people fall into the trap of that. Like the trickle-down effect is mental illness, loneliness, and, you know, say there's a huge men and women dating problem right now because people can't do shit in real life anymore. Everything has moved online and online dating is not working. And then there's so many people who are just lonely and incels and at home. And we have a lot of problems in the world right now. And a lot of things is coming from the fundamental problems. That's the kind of thing I like to think about. And once I see that, I can't unsee it. And then why should I still go there and then play that? It's just pointless. It's like those things fade into insignificance.
That's right. And, you know, to what you mentioned about grind culture, and if you believe in the cost and effect of things, I feel like, you know, during the 2021, 2022, when NFT Web3 was so hot and bullish, that the grind culture was so glamorized. Everyone's, you know, Discord, one another, so proud that they are in the 24/7, right? And if you believe in the fact that has such a negative mental and just everyday life effect, negative effect on our lives, that what's happening right now almost to me seems like effect of that culture is like, everyone got tired around the same time. And then everybody's like, F this. I don't want to do this anymore. My real life is more important. And then everybody seems like left around the same time, right? And if you want to believe that, people leaving, price dropping, I want to think that they're all kind of related in the background. So if we can all focus on the things that kind of is important, if it's an NFT project, think about the utility or value you're bringing to the people instead of like, how many people are in my Discord? How many minutes am I going to sell? And with artists, like really hone your craft and get as good as the best as you can within your ability. And then I think the followers, the awareness will come, right? And you go through this period of being disciplined to create, being disciplined to market yourself. Then I think you will get what you deserve, so to speak, on both ends too, right?
This whole thing of like, I'm not advocating being lazy and not do anything. What we are advocating here is, you know, in the Chinese tradition, we're talking about balance. Everything is yin and yang. Everything is about balance. Two ends of the stick, like at each extreme, like pendulum, it always swing back. So if you grind too hard and then you're gonna wear out. And if you do nothing and have no purpose in life, you're gonna get depression too. So either way, it's not good. So what is like, you know, we're talking about the balancing point. So the grind culture, the hard work itself is something commendable, is something admirable. I really love working hard. When I'm working hard for a purpose, when I'm actually have something to say, I want to work hard. And working hard, work ethic is a really good virtue coming from our Chinese culture. It's true. But the whole glamorized grind culture is like similar to Me Too movement, similar to a lot of like a woke movement and a lot of the LGBTQ. It's like it has to detach from and also feminism movement. The purpose of this thing is good in itself, is for the right reason. But a lot of times people go too far of like detaching what you are trying to do. And all I'm doing is grind. I don't care what I'm doing. It's just as long as I'm grinding is my brand. That is like what you're grinding for. You don't even know what you're grinding for. So it's like a fame.
Yeah,
we all wanted to be famous at one point when we do art or whatever, you know, you want to be recognized and you want to have a status and then be respected. But at one point, people forget about, I want to bring good art for to the world. And then the fame is the undesirable consequence, byproduct that attached to the real thing that you're doing. But then people started to detach in the recent decades, like detach the two things. It's like, I want to be famous for its own sake, hence social media stars, right? I don't care what I'm doing. I can do the most vulgar thing as long as I get that 5 minutes of fame. Right.
Like,
this is the culture we're looking at with social media.
And it's so completely backwards, right? And I'm so glad we had this session today, because I feel like it kind of reset at least my mind, and hopefully everybody who are listening reset their mind for 2024 and really think about what's important and what they want to accomplish artistically and personally, and then not think about so focused on social media, right? I know you have a hard stop, so I just want to ask this one last question. It seems like you getting off social media, coming back in, was a very natural transition and whatnot. It wasn't like one day you decided, hey, I'm going to get off because I'm sick of it, right? It just kind of naturally happened. So I'm so excited, kind of wanted to know, when will you slowly come back, and what kind of, I know you can't tell us too much about the new projects that you're working on, but please just let us know, like, what kind of things we can expect from you in 2024.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I still want to leave like a 1 minute to say hi to Rob, because, you know, we always miss each other.
Okay.
I want to say hi, but I do have to go in 2 minutes, so I'm going to go really fast. So the way I see this is that I am an advocate for freedom, true freedom that comes from the heart, from the realness and honesty from a human being. So, and I do see life as cycles, as like a season. You know, what you have winter, you have summer, you have whatever, our body works in cycles, like the moon cycle, right? Life has cycles of ups and downs. So I follow the cycle. So when I go into winter, I don't feel like to come to social media, and then that will be it. And so I feel I'm in control. I'm in this true empowerment of my life. I'm not controlled by social media and the pressure around it, right? So whenever the calling is true and real from my soul, that I say, okay, it's time to do something. It's time to market again, to tell the world about my new project, which is a lot, because now I'm making. And the cycle, the season always goes back. So I'm sure I will come back, and you will be hearing from me when I have a project to bring out. And actually, I have 3 EPs, like some are in the making. Actually, I have 1 EP, Hopium, to be released. It's totally done. And I have Forget EP needs to come out. That's totally done. And the Chinese album that is due to be released from this month, that's from before, but then it hasn't been released yet. I'm in that kind of a stuck, kind of like a kind of a high pressure cooker. It needs to come out. So that's, and the second installment of this Hopium installment, I have like a 7 EP installment that's in the making. During this quiet time, I wrote over like 50 lyrics as well, at least. And then we have the Tommy D, the Odd Boy collaboration. We have a lo-fi project, probably a small album. And then I have a bigger album with David that's coming out. And probably I have an album with Alice. So that's a 3 EP album in the making and 3 EP in the release, in the pipeline of release. And not counting those individual collaborations on the side of people. So that's like a 6 album EP that's the world's gonna see. So I'm sure that I will be posting it. I wouldn't be, some of the project that I wouldn't be pushing too hard, but I will be like sharing social media and whatever. They are almost like my websites, right? I'm just telling people I'm here, but I might not be doing daily spaces again and things like that. So yeah, so that is one thing. And I have an important show I'm bringing to China to see his mother and father-in-law. And also we have a big festival that's coming up in June. So we are getting ready for our new kind of like live shows. So this year I can travel again. So I'm looking forward to probably a whole bunch of shows. And so I like it always come back. What can I say? It always come back. It just, I don't push anymore. I get pulled to these things. And then that's my mantra of life. You know, when I don't worry about stuff, it happens for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Fifi, you're always welcome to come to my spaces and talk about what's going on. I'll help you promote, because I know doing work and creating and promoting at the same time is such a pain in the butt. So I will do that for you anytime. And Rob, sorry you didn't get to speak today. Hopefully next time, and we can definitely chat offline as well. And yeah, I know we're up to our time. Thank you so much, Fifi, today for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode and this podcast, please hit that subscribe button and follow me on social media. I appreciate your support because it is a fuel that feeds the fire, and I cannot do any of this without you. With that, have a great day and see you next time.